Presentation. Number one, first one. The second one with the remaining proposals will be presented next Saturday night, or depending on your time zone, Sunday, I suppose. Next, please. Does someone want to read the Serenity Prayer?
Yeah, I'll do that. My name is Matt. I'm from Boston, Massachusetts.
Thank you, Matt.
Higher power, grant me the serenity to
To
accept
accept
the
the
things
things I
I cannot
cannot change,
change, courage
courage
to
to change
know
the things I
who
can,
I am, and wisdom
wisdom
to
to
know
know
the
the difference.
difference. And tradition one reads, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on AA, on ACA unity, rather.
Thank you,
Thanks.
Matt. Next slide, please. Okay, announcements. This presentation is being recorded. The recording will be made available on the Ballot Prep Committee webpage. The transcriptions feature is available. Next. And here is our agenda. We'll go through Zoom guidelines. We'll introduce the Ballot Preparation Committee. We'll take a look at the proposals on the agenda, then the presentation format, then the presentation guidelines, and presentation of proposals with the question and answers, general Q&A at the end, and then optional breakout rooms after that. Zoom guidelines. I'll go ahead and read through them. Raise your Zoom hand to speak during Q&A times. The chat function is only available with Zoom hosts. Please mute your audio when not speaking to avoid excessive background noise. Turn off video if you will be moving around to lessen distraction. And proposal submitters who have slides to present, we can make you co-host during your segment if you need that option. And committee members. Jim R, are you here? Okay, Mary
Kathy
Jo.
wasn't able to make it today. I'm here.
Karen S.
Good morning, everyone.
Kelly J, that would be me. Lisa L. Not present. And Sue V.
Am here.
Awesome. This is our great group that got us through this year or is getting us through this year's process. And next. And here are the proposals on the agenda for today. Proposal 10, which is the Change Tradition 4 proposal, Proposal 2. Involves literature projects. Proposal 5, the publishing license. Proposal 7, modification of ABC and QDMs. And Proposal 12, the International Literature Scholarship Fund. That's who the presenters today. Okay, important. This is our presentation format. Each proposing group will have up to 5 minutes to present their proposal, followed by up to 10 minutes for Q&A, question and answer with the attendees. Please respect the presentation format. During the Q&A portion, members of the proposing groups will be available to answer questions by fellow travelers in attendance. Next. Would another one of the ballot prep committee members like to read through this?
I can do that, Kelly. This is Karen. Again, just a reminder that we're not here to debate the merits of a proposal, where our goal is to share information and make sure we're making well-informed decisions as ballot voting proceeds. We will be taking questions in the order that virtual hands are raised. And if you have an additional question after your first question was answered, please allow others who have not spoken to go first. And just to make sure we're evening the playing field, we will take 30 seconds before raising hands for questions, and everybody will have up to 1 minute to ask a question. And this is a note to the proposings groups, and it's covered up a little bit. Yeah, in your presentation and in your answers, please just make sure to give opportunity for as many questions as possible to be raised. And we do have the option of breakout rooms at the end of the session. So if more questions are asked than we have or are indicated than we have time for, maybe we can defer some of those to a breakout room. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Erin, I see your hand is up.
Yes, Kelly. I was hoping I had everything completely mixed up. I thought it was next week. Could I go maybe third instead of first?
I suppose that would be fine. I don't want to be the only one making that decision. Committee, are we good with that? Mary Jo?
I think it would be up to group the next
Next.
group if they're ready to go. And I think.
So who goes after Aaron? Who was the after the second proposal? Group two, proposal two. Would
Hi,
you
I'm.
all be ready to
Yeah,
go first?
I think that's fine. Is anybody else in the Harvard Square group not okay with going first? So I can't tell if it
I'm
doesn't
good.
sound like anybody objects. So we
Okay,
could.
that would be great. Thank you so much. And then if Aaron, if you wanted to go third, we would be asking proposal five also, if they would mind going being pushed to second.
Okay, and I may be ready after this, so I'll do my best. Thank you. Thank you very
Okay.
much.
Okay, so you'll go in second place. Is that what I'm hearing?
I'll do my very best to do that. Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you. And thank you, group two, for being able to do that for us. Okay, were we finished with the slide presentation guidelines? Yes, that was the okay. So then we're moving to proposal two. And I'm going to turn it over to is that Bonnie going to present this?
Yes.
Okay, and wait, do we have a timer for this section?
But we'll read the issue first.
Okay.
People, yeah.
Do we want to read it or we want to let Bonnie read it?
It shouldn't be part of their 5 minutes, either
Okay.
way.
All right, I'll go ahead and read it and then we'll turn it over to Bonnie. And do we have a timekeeper for the 5 minutes? Is someone willing to time the 5 minutes?
This is Karen. I can do the timekeeping for this segment.
Thanks, Karen. Okay, so proposal 2024, this is number two, submitted by the MA047 Cambridge Mass Group. Issue, we propose that all WSO literature projects, new or in development, must pass ABC motions initiated by group ballot proposals to start or continue development, in parentheses, publication not guaranteed. Proposals should detail the unmet needs, the literature addresses, and its synergy with existing ACA literature, and ideally provide all ACAs access to a 25 to 50 page review draft 20 days before any ABC vote. Exception, literature approved by the Literature Evaluation Subcommittee before October 6th, 2023. Okay, and I'm going to hand it over to Bonnie.
Bonnie,
Thank
before
you.
you start, can I just ask, would you like a 1 minute or 30 second warning before your time is up? Sure, that would be great. Thank you, Karen.
I'll give you 1 minute.
Okay, great. All right. So, hi, everybody. My name is Bonnie M., and I am from the Harvard Square ACA group, and I'm here with other members. We have Matt, Bob, Lee, and John, and we're going to do our best to give you as much information as we can in 5 minutes. So, the current literature, this proposal is addressing how new literature is proposed.
Right now, there is no standard approval process for that. And what we're seeing is the current literature ideas can be proposed by the board, by the literature committee, by groups through the literature evaluation subcommittee, or by ballots or ABC motions. And so what we're proposing is really a standard approval process that's very transparent to the whole fellowship that will be initiated by groups, kind of going back to that suggested commitment to service that, the true power of our program lies in the groups and meetings. And so everyone in the fellowship will be able to see what is on the ballot in terms of new ideas for literature. And there'll be substantial unanimity, which there is not right now because the board and literature committee can be quite small. So we're trying to get more voices involved. And in terms of the one of the concerns the WSO raised was that it limits the literature committee's ability to create new literature. And the idea is, yes, that is true, but that can be a very small committee, sometimes just four people. And literature has such an impact that we're wanting to have more voices involved. And it focuses the literature committee on what the fellowship has already approved in terms of things like the Reparenting Daily Reader that was approved in 2020 but hasn't been developed. And so that's part of the goal. And those volunteers can still go and create a ballot through their group if they have a strong desire to produce new literature and go through that process. And I'm going to turn it over to Lee.
Thank you, Bonnie. So WSO also raised a concern that this would lengthen the approval process. The way we've been thinking about it is that, well, actually, past experience actually show that the timeline for completing the projects varies a lot. The ballot process that we're proposing does not actually inherently lengthen the time to develop a project. For example, there is a 235-page book project that was approved by a 2017 ballot, and it was published in 2021. And you compare it to a volunteer-initiated, board-approved project launched during the same period, but is still being developed. Also, ACA literature is flourishing. There are two new publications on the horizon. There's the Beginner's Handbook and a book for building an ACA support network, alongside of a thoughtful revision of the BRB and a slew of new translations. We feel that our new or open literature policy further underscores really the richness of the resources at our fingertips, right? So we're operating from a place of abundance. And this gives the luxury of time to truly assess the fellowship's needs before diving into new projects. Not to mention, we see books as an additional resource, right, that enhances the other forms of the toolbox. So meetings, steps, and peer support. And there's also the concern that this may increase the workload for some WSO committees. The way we really see it is that even though the proposal may increase the workload for some committees, but this is an investment into ensuring the quality of our literature because the impact of a literature on our fellowship is really deep and lasting. And I will turn it over to my fellow John.
Thanks, Lee.
1 minute.
Thank you. One other concern that was brought up in the WSO's analysis was the potential loss of committee volunteers. Volunteers can still begin developing literature anytime and can refine their ideas with others at the local and intergroup levels. We saw writers do this for A New Hope, the Beginner's Handbook, where they demonstrated the power of a grassroots initiative and their proposal spoke to a clear need. Like we mentioned in our proposal, board and committee proposals can sometimes carry more weight. We believe that this puts group-based volunteers on an equal footing. There's no opportunity for someone to think, oh, someone's already thought of that, or I can't bring my proposal to the WSO, who am I to do that? We believe that one of the more powerful acts of board and committee service is to connect people and to connect resources. And I don't believe our proposal prevents or limits that because we certainly want for that to continue. And I think that's our time, so thank you very
In
much.
time, yes.
Good timing. Thank you so much, Bonnie, Lee, and John, for your presentation. And now we're going to pause for 30 seconds, which I can time, and then we'll open it up for questions. And I'll take questions in the order that I see them on my screen.
By the way, I can use the timing app that's part of Zoom if that helps for the 1 minute.
That would be great. Yeah.
If you could time the 1 minute questions, I'll time the segment, Mary Jo. Thank you.
Okay.
So something is wrong with my timer. I'll say 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And ding. Okay, so the floor is open for questions. I see cause and then Brad.
So I'll get started. Thank you. It was not terribly clear from the written language, and I'm even more confused after the presentation. Are these preliminary votes to be taken before anybody even starts work or before a finished product is finally approved? Or somewhere in between. My understanding from the last presenter is that anyone can do anything at any time, in which case, how does this mesh with these voting requirements that you have proposed? Pause. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. So yes, this we'll use the example of A New Hope because they started working on their book with the group, and they disseminated it and made it better and better as people used it. And so the idea is, if a group has an idea for literature, they can start developing that, put it on the ballot proposal process, and that's why we say if they do have a little bit of a sample that people could read as part of the ballot proposal, then the fellowship will be even more informed about what the material is going to be. They don't have to have that. So people can start at any time, but for WSO to start developing it, it needs to be approved by ballot proposal at an ABC. I hope that clarifies.
Thank you, Cause and Bonnie. And Brad L is next.
Yeah, my question has to do about that some literature proposals have come to fruition from the ABC, and it's been great. But a lot of other literature proposals have come to the ABC with no preparation, just wanting someone else to do the work, and without a requirement of them having some sort of team or some sort of idea or some sort of preparation. How is this going to work? Plus, there's no guarantee we're going to have the QDMs and so forth all the time. I've seen literature proposals get extremely popular that don't have any backing, so forth, and they can push out all the other proposals. So I could see this. How do we prevent all these literature proposals where people just want this literature getting it fit, fills up the ballot proposals? People are all excited. They don't do their 25 page deal, and
Done.
it turns into that sort of situation.
So it sounds like there's a couple questions in there, Brad. And in terms of the first one in terms of good proposals that pass and then they're not developed. So yes, that is a problem. But if WSO, the literature committee, is not focused on creating their own new literature, they can maybe have more resources and focus to help produce those. You know, the Loving Parent Guidebook, it did have a group that was interested in developing it, but the WSL still reached out to that group to say, do you want to get this going? And I don't believe that's happened with the Reparenting Daily Reader. So, and that's part of my group is the one who proposed that. So I know that. So part of the issue is I don't think it has to have the literature example to show that there's merit because the Loving Parent Guidebook didn't have anything other than the ballot proposal, and that went forward. In terms of the crowding, I'm not aware of there being a ton of proposals. You have longer time at WSO than me, so I'm not sure how to address that part of your question, the crowding anything out.
Done.
Thank you, Brad L, and for the question, and Bonnie. And Carmen, you're next.
Yeah, thank you. I think one of the people said that ACA literature is flourishing. So I guess my question is, why do we actually need this ballot proposal if I can't remember which one of you guys said that, if ACA literature is already flourishing? So thank you.
I think it's flourishing, but some of the needs that the fellowship has put forth, like the Reparenting Daily Reader and some of the other proposals that have passed, aren't being developed. So it's really about focusing on what the fellowship has already said they want and need. And in terms of this, it's transparency because the literature committee and the board can propose projects, but they're not seen in the same way that a ballot proposal would be seen. We don't have the option to vote on them the same way we do if they go through the fellowship review, through the ballot proposal process. So it's kind of transparency and standard approval process that we're looking for.
Thank you, Carmen. And the floor is open for more questions. We do have a few more minutes. Stefani.
Hi there, thank you. Do you think that this kind of makes it a bit more democratic and transparent?
Yeah, I definitely do because I think that, there are a limited number of people on the board. I think now we have four members and on the literature committee. And I have been on there when there's only been four people. And I would really love to see more of a de democratic, transparent process because it's easy for the squeaky wheel to get the oil instead of there being the full fellowship weighing in. And my understanding is WSO's purpose is to serve the needs of the fellowship and the collective voice.
Got it. Okay. Just I'm newer to the program, just about 3 years in. So do you think that any of the valuable literature that's been created, like the Loving Parent Guidebook or the Traits Book, would have been stopped by a process like this?
I mean, the Loving Parent Guidebook was a ballot proposal and it was unanimously passed. I think if something has a really strong hits a strong need for the fellowship, it would go forward.
Thank you. Those are my questions. Much appreciated.
Okay.
Thank you, Stefani, and Bonnie for your answer. And we have Mary Jo and then Gabriel.
Let Gabriel go first, please.
Gabriel.
Yeah, thank you, Bonnie. Start on the WSO analysis, starting with currently new ACA literature can be proposed in one of the four ways, and then ending with delegates already have the ability to direct literature committee. And then the four steps that are listed there, can you differentiate how you see what you've put forward compared to that synopsis there?
Yeah, basically it would be taking away three and four, which is the literature committee and the board. Now, of course, they can still go back to their groups and say, hey, this is really important, and they can get group conscience at their group level and propose it. But what we're saying is so that all the fellowship has a view of what the literature is being
Hello.
proposed, it would go on the ballot proposal so everyone sees it. And then it would go to the ABC to be voted on.
Could you repeat?
So there would be substantial unanimity. And that would be one standard way of new literature projects being approved for WSO development. Hope that answers.
We're at two minutes for this segment. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Gabriel. And Mary Jo?
Yeah, I just have, are there specific projects that have gone through that you think shouldn't have gone through in the way they were, and that's why this proposal is important?
I think it's much more that we have a lot of literature now. And I think that when people come and volunteer on the literature committee, it's exciting to produce new literature. But if there's no strategic plan for what literature we need, then getting the needs assessment from the fellowship, I think, is more democratic and more transparent. Because in terms of projects that have gone forward, I'm very happy with some of the projects that have gone forward. There are some projects in the pipeline that I would really like to see go through the process to see if there's truly a need.
Thank you, Mary Jo. BD Chair, Sue, is that you? Yes.
Yeah, it is. Thanks. And just a WSO point of information. I'll follow up on the Reparenting Daily Reader. I'm not familiar. And so I've put a call out to Christine, the chair of literature, and we can clarify that as we talked in the ballot proposal committee. I'll just clarify that and put it on the ballot prep website so that we have all the information. And I appreciate the proposers and everyone else here in this great discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Karen, where are we on time?
6, 5, 4, et cetera. We're almost up. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, Bonnie and team, for your presentation and all the questions and answers. And I'm going to turn the next proposal over to Karen to facilitate.
Thank you, Kelly. So I believe we are now up with proposal 10, which is about changing tradition 4. Erin, are you ready now?
I am ready, although I'm
Wonderful.
honoring, I'd never be too organized.
Sue, can you screen share the proposal itself, the issue again? And I think the process is I read it and then we open the presentation. Would somebody like to time the segments, the 5 minute for the presentation and the 10 minutes for Q&A?
I could time the first one, the 5 minutes.
Thank you, Kelly.
And I'll do the before we start, actually, just a reminder, I was starting to time the responses from the submitting group, and then I realized actually I shouldn't be doing that. It's only the questions I should be timing. And the proposing group just needs to keep in mind there's only 10 minutes for the whole segment. So I won't time their responses this time going forward.
Thank you. And it's helpful to have the timer on the screen. So I appreciate your using the app, Mary Jo. So I'll start by reading the issue here. We propose that the last sentence of the fourth tradition be removed, which states we cooperate with all other 12-step programs. Erin, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you, committee. So I'm going to read through some of the background, and it is, to our knowledge, no other 12-step program uses this language. It is also unclear what the intent was or why this sentence was added. At the time this was written, there were only a small handful of 12-step, 12 tradition programs. Today, in our research, we find there are over 50 other 12-step programs and more being formed all the time. And it's unclear that they all follow the 12 traditions. So part of what we're proposing, whether that this be discussed, would be whether we drop that sentence or not. We need to clarify what does it mean? What are the limits? And do we work with other 12-step, 12 tradition programs? And the reason that I say that is because when this issue first came to me several years ago when I was on the board, it came from a member who had experienced basically trauma when her gender, sexual orientation was questioned, saying that our 12-step fellowship says you need to conform to being a heterosexual. And their stand was, you have to cooperate with our program. It sounds really bizarre that that would happen, but that's what happened. There is no explanation in our Big Red Book or anywhere else of what the limits are in terms of our cooperation. We think that this has the potential for being in conflict with Tradition 6 about lending our name, as well as Tradition 10, outside issues, money. What's the limit? So is it about adding more literature or more information to that tradition? It may currently be used to validate questionable meeting resources, such as therapeutic techniques, use of literature from other fellowships that could dilute the ACA message. If this proposal does get passed, we do have people ready to work on it as they were ready to work on this proposal. We're looking at the analysis here. We believe the reason this sentence is so that the possibility is open to groups to cooperate. For example, at the conference, provide information on multiple 12-step programs. So part of what the WSO response was that I would like to respond to is that, yes, the board now actually confers with other 12-step, 12-tradition programs to learn, you know, how can we help each other? But those other 12-step programs, AA, NA, CODA, they don't have this sentence in there. They didn't see the need, apparently, to have that sentence in there. So either are we saying they need to add it, or I don't really see that that pertains here. So, yes, full support of the fellowship. And we have had changes before. So we've added, for example, in, I forget which tradition it is, but we added and all other social media. So when the question comes down to, are there financial costs? That there weren't necessarily financial costs that I'm aware of with that, but we are, the financial cost of revising literature, we're doing that. We're doing that with Big Red Book step revision. We've done that in other literature where we found that dysfunction and dysfunctional families wasn't actually printed. And we got it together to start printing that, adding that. So let's see.
1 minute.
Okay. Let's see. Have I covered everything I needed to go? So that would be the financial costs. I don't really, I can't see where they would be great. I can't see where they would be, considering, you know, it's over time. And a lot of it is just, you know, delete the sentence. It's not adding more. It's actually creating more space when we think about revisions that we're going to be doing to a big red book. It would actually, that would probably be good. I think I'm done, unless Martin or Mary Jo, who also helped on this proposal, have anything that they might add.
Thank you, Erin.
I don't.
I might jump in quickly. It's like for future, you know, that there are going to be new 12-step programs happening. So we're kind of like, for me, in this tradition, we're kind of like giving, allowing kind of cooperation with unknown program that hasn't even been created. So for me, it's just like we're not even checking, find out about the other programs. So that's all. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. So as we did before, we're going to wait for 30 seconds before we take any questions, although I do see hands going up already. I'm trying to time this and my timer is not cooperating. I apologize.
Karen, do you want me to time it?
I have it. Okay. We have 10 more seconds. Kelly, will you be able to time the 10-minute Q&A segment, just the whole 10 minutes, while Mary Jo times the individual questions? Thank you. Okay. Hands up if you have questions. All right. I see a phone number ending in 019 as the first hand. Would you please like to go ahead?
Yeah, this is Pam. I was on the board in the early 90s, and I believe the reason that phrase was in there was simply because in order for us, well, the WSO board went to AA and asked for permission to use the 12 steps because they had copyrighted it and the 12 traditions. So I believe that phrase was in there because in order to use those things, we were required at the time to publish the entire AA steps and the entire AA traditions at the bottom of our steps and traditions in order to use it. So I believe that was an overlay of that in order to cooperate with AA. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Does anybody want to respond?
I guess I sort of have more of a question then. So if that being the case, it sounds like it is obsolete at this point, but also why then, Pam, if you have the knowledge, why did other 12-step programs such as Al-Anon, NA, why did they not add that last sentence to the fourth tradition? That would be the research, the exploration that I would think would, and thank you for that knowledge.
Well, this is Pam. I'm guessing they didn't ask. I imagine the copyrights were just being prompted on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Aaron. Next hand up is Kaz.
Still. Okay, there we go. Thank you. My understanding of the Al-Anon tradition is that in another tradition, not number four, they talk about cooperating with Alcoholics Anonymous very specifically. And it makes sense. They were the first two organizations. In timing, ACA was not the third, but in, how shall I put it, family development, yes, it's really the third. Also, ask, what is it about cooperation that implies total deference?
Time.
Thank you, Kaz.
No, I, Mary Jo or Martin, would you like to chime in on any of that? I think I'm not necessarily, I heard the question, but not as an actual question.
I don't have anything.
Neither.
Thank you, Kaz. Thank you, everyone. So I'll take the next hand. That would be Patty C.
Hey, all. Patty, ACA. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Aaron, and presenters for presenting today. And I'm wondering, my question is, do you have an idea of what the relanguaging would be of a revision of Tradition 4? I see that AA says every group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. And Al-Anon has a similar spin. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting another group or Al-Anon or AA as a whole. Has your group of presenters discussed what the actual relanguaging would be? It makes sense to be, you know, that each group within ACA should be autonomous except in matters affecting other ACA groups or our fellowship as a whole. Have you discussed what that relanguaging might be? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that question. So what our first thought was, as had actually been discussed some years back, it was actually a question on the board some years back about what are we doing about that? That seems to, we're getting more confusion from members having that sentence there. So the first thought was, do we even need that sentence? And then if this proposal goes through, that's what the research would be. Like what, when, if it, when, it, when it's discussed, hopefully if it's discussed, what do people want to know, add, delete? What do we want to do about it? So it's more a question for the fellowship.
Okay, but I'm no. asking you directly. I was wondering if any of you had thought of just, you know, what it might be.
Point of.
Go ahead.
No, and that would be part of the further process. So, yeah. Next question.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Aaron and Mary Jo. Next question is from Susan C.
Thank you. I am wondering Because it is a tradition, changing tradition four, is there more to it? Because it is it part of the ACA bylaws that would need to be changed? I see in the implementation that if this passes, it would need to go through a process to get approval by a certain percentage of ACA groups. But because it, to me, it seems like a change, a big change, whether it would be in the steps or the traditions, does that, is that something that would need to be a change in the bylaws? Thank you.
So I'll have probably ask Mary Jo to speak to the change in the bylaws. I don't, you know, what I can answer to that is, for example, we had the concept two and concept six study group. And then we had the change to all other, adding all other social media to one of the traditions. So that, you know, that process is already there. And then pass it to Mary Jo to answer more about the bylaws, maybe.
I don't believe that the bylaws change. It's it has, it just has to go for fellowship approval if it gets changed, and that's fellowship wide. Yeah. How much time do we have left?
We have 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you, Aaron and Mary Jo. We have two more hands up, two questions. I'm going to call on Bonnie next. I suggest that we complete those two questions and then move on to the next section. So Bonnie, go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Thanks everybody for this and also to the ballot proposal committee. Two things. One, it sounds like what I was understanding from this ballot proposal is just that last sentence would be cut, which to me would make sense because that sounds consistent with what other groups have in their tradition for. The other thing is, Aaron, you were speaking to somebody kind of misunderstanding the purpose of this statement. I was wondering how widespread that is. Would this be a change that would be addressing something that's come to the surface many times or just the one time?
I'm not sure that I'm the only one that can answer that, but it has come to the surface when I was on the board. I can't go back and tell you the exact groups that brought it about, but the types of situations, like we have 12-step groups that are not 12 tradition, but they are religious in affiliation. So do we cooperate with them? How do we cooperate with them, right? So, yeah. Anybody else, Mary Jo or Martin?
We have 1 minute left.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Aaron. I'll call on Gabriel, and then Sue has indicated that she would like to address an issue to that before we wrap up this segment. Gabriel, your question.
Thanks. Yeah, in the to the proposing group, and in the interpretation, you know, do you feel that the interpretation of the word cooperates, that there is not enough empowerment already available to address all concerns, you know, and it kind of speaks to the, some of the comments that have been made before in terms of, have there been instances that have come forward or has it been used and manipulated against the fellowship in any other way? Thank you.
So my experience is that, yeah, it can be used and has been used to manipulate, but it also has been used just without adequate knowledge of how all the traditions work together. Mary Jo or Martin?
Yeah. And it taking that sentence out does not mean we would not cooperate with other 12-step programs because we do, and to the point that was made earlier, other fellowships don't have that sentence, and everybody cooperates with each other for the most part. So,
and we are at time.
Okay. So I'll call on Sue for up to a minute to address publishing implications.
Yeah, thank you, Karen. And I'm here right now speaking as your publishing chair, nothing to do with the board. So on the chair of publishing, I'll note this more clearly on the ballot prep website. There are always implications when we delete or change things in our books. We have right now 5 English books, but we have a total of 35 books, English and translated, that have to be changed. So I just want to, when we talk about cost implications and things that have to be done, it's more than you think. And we found that when we deleted the Tradition 3 share from a ballot that got approved at an ABC. And we now know how much it implicates, especially the BRB, because of the page numbers. So I'm just going to stop there. I'll explain it a little more. It's just a neutral piece of information just to be aware of. Thanks. That'll pass.
Thank you. I think we are up for this segment and we are ready to move on to the next one. I'll facilitate this one and then pass it back to Kelly afterwards.
I am kind of disturbed that there was another comment, but we didn't have time after that. But I'm just going to say, put that out there. Thank you.
Is there an option to do breakout rooms after this and refer the final comment to the breakout room? This is a question to the facilitators of the proposal. Are you available to do a breakout room after the session ends?
I would have to ask my other fellow proposals that question.
I can stay longer if needed.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So are we moving on to the next proposal? According to my list, that would be proposal number 5 about the publishing license.
Karen, am I taking this or are you going to do this?
I was going to take it. If you want to do it, go ahead.
It's fine. Go ahead. I'll go to the next one.
Okay. Do we have the presenters for this proposal ready? Not sure who was presenting on this group. If you're presenting on this group, please raise your hand so that I can identify.
It would be Elisa.
Hi, everyone. I'm supporting this proposal on the question section, and we have Natalia. If she's available, she'll present our proposal.
Okay, we'll do the same format that we have up until now. We'll read the proposal, and then one of you can present for 5 minutes. Kelly, will you be able to time again?
Yes.
Thank you. So the proposal, the issue reads, we propose returning to the countries the right to serve their needs in published program literature and to manage this process according to the publishing license from WSL. And Elisa and Natalia, you have the floor.
Hi, my name is Natalia. I'm an adult child from Russia, from Russian Speaking Service Committee. Our proposal is to return to the countries the right to serve their needs in published, in printed literature and to obtain a publishing license from WSO and to manage this process within their countries by their own. We rely on our experience and the interests of our fellowship. But we hope that this proposal will be interesting to others as well. Russia began to print ACA literature in 2017, and around 6 circulations has already been published, printed. And as far as I know, a couple of years ago, maybe less, I don't know exactly, WSO introduced another system of publishing, which is more centralized, and maybe WSO became more engaged in publishing and translation in other countries, and they help a lot. But at the same time, it makes countries more dependent from WSO in this issue. And one of the features of this system is equal price for the whole world. For example, 4 years ago, I bought my BRB for 650 rubles. And now the price at which intergroups and service bodies must purchase books from WSO is $14, which is equal to 1,300 rubles, which is twice as much as 4 years ago. And this is not the final price because this scheme does not free us from the need to solve business issues like hiring a warehouse, and to we need to pay for the work of people who will be engaged in selling and sending literature to ultimate sellers or buyers, to ACA members. We need to pay taxes and to maintain office and so on. So it means that we will need to make the price even higher. And our main purpose is to carry the message, and we believe that it is not good for carrying the message. For example, in Russia, most ACA members are women, and women in Russia usually earn less than men, and the salary of around 200 and 250 is quite common in Russia. For women, it is maybe not average, but it is common. We also want to say some words that about copyright. We understand, at least our service body, Russian speaking service committee, understands the importance of copyright compliance. We believe that our proposal will help reducing copyright violations, because when the price is high, the groups usually refuse to follow it. They are engaged in self-publishing or distributing electronic copies and so on. So we disapprove it. Thank you. But we understand that this is a consequence of the fact that the members, ACA members, they consider the price high and they can't allow to buy the book. They prefer to find a free version. We also understand that the system which is now used may be suitable for some countries and for some intergroups, but we do not want to reject it or to abandon it at all. But we should say that this system doesn't suit us, our country, our fellowship, and we consider it necessary to say this, and we suggest using a more flexible approach, maybe a hybrid approach. Thank you for your attention.
And time.
And if we can take down the screen share at this point, and again, give it 30 seconds before people raise their hands for questions. And raise your hands if you have a question. Shangri-La. I cannot hear you, Shangri-La. I'm not sure what's wrong with your audio. I'm not hearing you. We'll come back to you. Please keep your hand up in the sequence so that we can come back to you later. Pam.
Yeah, I think the issue is really the integrity of copyright. And I'm not sure that, well, I think the reason AA has let go of publisher, or, you know, AA just represents the United States in the New York office, and they've let go of the rest of the world, I believe. In this instance, you know, what's to stop anybody or governments from taking over and rewriting it? That's my question. Or people in the fellowship rewriting it, with or without permission, because if there's, you can't ensure in enforce copyright. I mean, to me, the interim deal would be, yes, you know, you can publish there.
But
we have to prove it in advance. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Elisa and Natalia, would one of you like to speak to that? And if not, I'll call on Patty.
Natalia Dalchild, I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. Elisa, maybe you have some answer.
Yeah, I was silent because from what I've heard, it was about the ability to publish, I guess. So it's not like to do everything on our own. Would like to cooperate with WSO, but the things that we are able to do on our side. From what I am believing in, I would see it to do it inside the country because we can it and we have the experience. We have printers. Maybe Pam would specify what she was meaning to give her better answer that I'm able now.
Thank you, Elisa. I'll call on the other questions first. Maybe we can come back to Pam to clarify if we have some more time. Patty.
Hey, y'all. I'm putting my hand down. Thank you, Elisa and Natalia, for presenting. And my question is, I'm looking at the WSO response. I'm just going to read it verbatim. In the WSO analysis, their response, it reads, to increase accessibility and affordability of ACA literature, a new system was implemented with a worldwide supply chain using global printing hubs. These hubs print and ship the books to where they are most needed in a cost-effective manner. Does this not serve you? Did this not appropriately serve your needs? Using global printing hubs. This was approved at the ABC in 2022 and was presented by the AWC and the European Committee and the intergroups. So does the use of the global printing hubs not serve your purposes? And in what way, if it doesn't?
Thank you, Patty. Does one of you want to respond?
Oh, Natalia, ACA, adult child. I tried to explain that for our country, it is not. So this statement is not true because the price became much higher than it was previously. And our servants can find a printer in Russia, which will cost less, so the books will cost less. So my short answer, maybe Alisa will add something. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, I was disconnected. I had a pure connection. If WSO would like take all the stages of providing the printed literature, I think that would really reduce our expenses. But we need to deliver books. We need to do managing all the process. So no, it doesn't save money, unfortunately. And I understand that it's our role and it's our need to give this information because nobody the situation in countries and on the territory of our neighbors as we can. So, for example, Belarus, they don't have the access to the literacy website, unfortunately, and I knew about it today. So the rep from the intergroup of Belarus, she said that they could order the books maybe with our help of Russian-speaking regional service committee, but not by themselves. That's the problem for Russian-speaking countries as well. Thank you.
Yes, understood. Thank you, Alisa. Thank you, Natalia.
Thank you, Patty. Thank you, Natalia and Alisa. I'll call on Shangri-La next. I hope the audio works now.
I hope you can hear me now.
Yes.
Right. So more than a question, I am speaking out in support of this particular proposal. I think that if and when India gets its own local translated literature, we can deliver an appropriate quality of the book locally at much, much cheaper price. It is a growing fellowship, and we need to get the message out to as many people as possible. And it's not possible at $14 or $21, even with a 30% discount to intergroup. Given that there are customs import duties, there are local shipping, it's a vast country, although it might look a little small on the map, but it's a very vast country. And with 22 regional languages, officially recognized regional languages, it is impossible to meet the demands if and when we have the literature available. Thank you. So I support it.
Thank you, Shangri-La. Natalia, Alisa, would one of you like to speak to this comment?
Natalia Doublechild, as far as I understood, it was an expression of support. I just want to thank you. Yes, thank you.
Okay, how are we doing with time, Kelly?
We've got 2 minutes and 42 seconds.
Okay, I'll call on Gabriel next.
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to say I appreciate what's been said about the increasing accessibility and affordability not being true, and your interpretations, and I also wanted to just ask in brief, is do you find that when some of these members are going to the free websites and locations is the integrity of the message the same, or, you know, because I guess that would be a concern as well, as like the integrity of what's being reproduced at a lower cost or even free.
Thank you, Gabriel. Natalia, Alisa, would one of you like to respond?
Does integrity mean the pricing issues? Would like to know the focus of the question.
The accuracy of the content in the free locations.
Do you mean the language of the text of the BRB and a yellow workbook?
Gabriel, can you clarify? There was another follow-up on clarification of your meaning.
Yeah, I don't know how to clarify it anymore.
Where it went.
I'll pass. I'll pass.
Natalia, there are three of us, Alisa, me, and Igor, and I saw his hand. Maybe he wanted to answer.
Whose hand did you see up? Igor? Okay. Igor, would you like to speak to the question that Gabriel raised?
Yes.
Hi everybody, my name is Igor. I am from I'm adult child from Russian speaking service committee, and Gabriel has a very good question, because the quality of the translation, of course, we cannot control it, and there are old versions and not full versions. They are circulating on free exchanges. So it's for the service and for the fifth tradition. It's better that we have we have one issue on Russian, so and better that the price is not so high, so we can give the possibility to choose between poor quality, because some groups we know printed itself themselves some literature. And because between poor quality of the book and poor quality of the translation and good quality of the official issue, so it is the question, and it's what we want to do. That our local community can do it and can do it on the good level. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Igor. We went over time with that, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to finish your comments. We do have two more hands up, and I would like to ask whether the presenting group will be available for a breakout room after the end of this session so that additional comments and questions may be addressed.
I think I will be able to stay longer and to talk to anyone who would like to. Thank you.
Wonderful, Alyssa. Thank you. So I'm going to refer Bill and Kaz, who have their hands raised, maybe to the breakout room discussion afterwards. And I'm going to pass the baton to Kelly for the next presentation. Thank you so much for letting me be of service. And I can do the timing for the next one.
Thank you. Karen, can I request we pause for 1 minute so I can take a 1 minute break before we come back? Thank you. 1 minute.
Thank you, Kelly.
Okay, thank you for that minute, folks. Okay, so we are moving on to the next proposal, which is, Sue, can you screen share it? Seven, I think we're at seven. Yes. Okay, so I'm gonna read it first and then we'll follow the procedure we've been following. This is proposal seven, submitted by the IT committee and the ABC committee. Issue, we propose that ACA hold annually one business conference and one other delegate meeting. This one other delegate meeting would replace the three quarterly delegate meetings, known as the QDMs, that are currently being held. Okay, so we will pause for 30 seconds and then we'll start taking questions. I'll go ahead and time the 30 seconds starting right now.
Are we going to present for 5 minutes?
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay.
Thank you, Carmen. No problem. Yeah. Okay. So who is going to present?
It'll be Brad, me, and Mary Jo.
Yeah, but before we do that, I was just going to ask, that last one had a lot of translation pauses type of thing, so we didn't get through nearly as many questions. Is it possible to extend a couple minutes on the last one without having to go to the breakout room? Because I know I can't go because I have to do it, and we often get give a little extra time. I didn't know if the chairs today would be open to giving that one an extra two or 3 minutes because of language.
You mean, Brad, I was going to bring this question up. Oh, sorry, Kelly, I spoke out of turn.
I mean, Brad, are you referring to going back to the last proposal?
Yeah, because there was a lot of that last question took, you know, maybe half the time of it because of like translation issues. So I mean there were I was interested in hearing the next couple of people do questions and giving them a little extra time because it was obviously translation related problems.
Karen, you had thoughts?
I was going to, Brad had reached out to me in chat about this, and I was going to come back to the group before we opened up the breakout rooms. But we can address that now if you want. I mean, I think that would be a group conscience decision to make with everybody here.
Okay, so we are asking to go back to the last proposal and to allow for a couple of extra minutes because there were a couple of hands raised. I think that's correct, yes? How do you all want to do this? Raise a hand for all that would be willing to do that.
I'm seeing 14 hands up, 15. It's not barely 50%. So we're kind of on the fence as a group.
I'm counting 16. Someone has a yes instead of a hand.
Maybe I ask for no's and undecided, or they don't care either way.
Who is can we turn the question around and ask who is, clear all your hands, please. Who is opposed to adding a 5 minute window to address additional questions on the last proposal presented? I see three hands opposing. Do we want to do a minority opinion? Would anybody like to express a minority opinion why you are opposing this?
I would. It's already 9:45 in India. I've been sitting here for waiting my turn for more than an hour. If we extend, then we have the group proposal 7. And then we come to proposal 12. It will be very late my time. And I cannot do that. So I would request that any extension to the proposal be given at the end of the meeting, and that is the time we can bring that up in an open meeting without going into a breakout room, if that's okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Shangri-La. Kelly, are you speaking as co-chair?
I sort of am. It's if we allow this, then we would be open to allowing additional time for the remaining proposers, I suppose. But I'd like to hear from Stefani also.
Yeah, you know, I'm a mom of kids, and this has already been some time. And also maybe open forum, like a parking lot style at the end, where if people really have questions, they could answer those, maybe doing something like that. But I think we want to give everybody a chance today.
Thank you, Stefania. Marion?
I do think there's something to bear in mind that when we are doing this, it might be worthwhile to consider the timing of who speaks when in order of the time geographically where they are. Because if we had ordered this differently, I think there would still potentially be translation problems. But it makes, for me, it means I'm now going to miss my meeting if I stay. And we're going to land up being in overtime when we get to presenting the reason we're here. Thanks.
Thank you, Marion. So I'm hearing the suggestion to have the additional time added in full session before we do breakout rooms at the end of the meeting. Do we have approval for, do we have agreement for that?
Karen, can I get clarification? Instead of going to a breakout room after all the presentations, then add the extra time. Is that what you're suggesting?
That's what I was hearing as a suggestion coming from other participants. And that's what I was thinking initially myself. So can we get everybody to raise your hand if you're in agreement with having extra time at the end of the meeting before we do breakout rooms? So we have 20 hands raised, 21 hands raised. So that's what we'll do. And I'll turn it back over to Kelly to proceed with the next proposal presentation.
Okay, great. Thanks, you all. So we are on proposal 7. And thank you, Carmen, for bringing to my attention that I was bypassing your presentation. But please, whoever is going to present, please proceed. And let's see, 5 minutes. Will somebody time this?
I'll time it. Can you bring up the proposal again so we can get our mind into what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Thanks. Cool. Should I start, or are we reading it first?
Yeah. I already read it. I think okay. We can go to the presenter. Who's presenting?
That's the three of us. I'll get us started. So basically, this is about that it takes a tremendous amount of resources to do these QDMs and the ABCs. And it is, we have a limited amount of volunteers. And it has been, there's some strain on IT, but most of the strain is on the ABC, and it really chews through the ABC members. That's why you see so much turnover in the ABC. And one of the things that's problematic is how this whole thing became to pass. It isn't, because it wasn't a ballot item that got a full discussion at the delegates. It didn't go out to the meetings to see if it made the agenda. It was just an option that was suddenly added on to, are we going to extend for one more day to get through some more ballot items? Are we going to do this whole thing? It wasn't done. And the argument for having all this is, well, we will have the volunteers. Maybe we will when the charter happens. Maybe we won't. But I deal in the reality of now. And we don't, and we haven't, and it's just not fair to all the people that are just burning out on this. And I think that's why we got to go to two. I'll turn it over to Carmen.
Thank you. So currently we have three chairs that do most that do the main things, and then at any given time there's an additional two or three people on the committee, so it's very taxing on those three people. Usually we meet 2 to 3 times a week to make sure that the QDMs are held, and because we have 4 meetings a year, it's pretty much year round. So we do have to develop an agenda, work with the presenters, make sure the documents are in, find volunteers, review surveys, all of those types of things. And I just think, given the amount of work that goes into it year round, and considering the number of volunteers that we have, I don't know, or I don't think this is sustainable for the long term. So our idea was at least have a discussion about it, and just be transparent in terms of kind of like where we are as volunteers. So thank you.
I'll just add that in our proposal, we added that the ABC study group is looking at the form and structure of these delegate meetings, and that isn't the case yet. I don't know when they'll ever get to this part of it. So that's why this proposal is important, because it's not the mandate yet, or the current mandate of anybody else. And somebody's got, okay. And then also that that means four surveys a year, which is that group. There's, you know, there's just a lot of extra work. And it seems like, oh, what's the big deal with a 4-hour QDM? Not such a big deal, but really behind the scenes, there's just a lot of work that has to go on, and it is a very limited number of people involved. And so that's about it. I don't know if I was supposed to say anything else. I didn't write it down. Okay.
You're good, Mary Jo.
Thanks.
And Karen, go ahead.
Boaz is going to take over the timing for the 1-minute timers, by the way, from now on.
Karen, how much time do we have left? You're muted.
We had 1 minute left for the presentation. I'll add that to the whole time segment for Q&A. So we have 11 minutes for Q&A.
Okay, thank you, Carmen, Brad, and Mary Jo for your presentation. We will pause for 30 seconds, and then we'll open it up for questions.
Are you timing the 30 seconds, Kelly?
Yes, I am. Okay, the floor is open. We have Cause and Pam. Go ahead, Cause.
Yes, thank you. There we go. So as I understand it, there used to be monthly board meetings, and then the meetings were reduced to quarterly business meetings. And so my question is, now is this going to be a further reduction, or are board meetings going to be reinstituted as something that people are regularly invited to?
Yeah, I can take that question. One doesn't have to do with the other. I understand they're both public-facing meetings. However, the board is dealing with the fact that they have a very low number of members. This is not, the QDM is not a board-run function. It is the volunteers with some support from some staff, and we just don't have the volunteership, and we've been chewing through the volunteers. The result is the board doesn't have enough volunteers, QDM doesn't have enough volunteers, and this is the reality we live in.
Thank you, Cause, and Brad, your response. And next we have Pam. Pam?
I had to unmute there. Yeah, there's several issues here, and one of them is, one of the questions is can we hire more IT people? This is going to be an issue as long as we have any meetings whatsoever, beyond the you know, we've already reduced, you know, the 12 meetings a year, which I think are probably required by law, but hey. And then the last quarterly sounded to me like it was a 4-hour board meeting. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hear anything about a delegate-driven conference committee. And so I'm wondering if we're going to move in the direction of a conference delegate meeting in a conference-driven ABC, if the point of, you know, WSO is there to facilitate, you know, provide like the IT on these things, then I think we need. Anyway, yeah. So can we hire more IT?
Yeah. Thank you. IT, it's not really an IT issue. IT is somewhat, but it's really chewing through the volunteer of the QDM, and things might change when there's a charter and all this stuff, but we need to deal with what's happening now. And I'll pass the time to Carmen from ABC if she wants to speak on it. Carmen, you're muted.
I'm muted. Okay, there we go. Yeah, so I do think it is an issue with just the amount of time it takes to plan each of the QDMs and the fact that there's 4 years, so there is no break. And that just is taxing on the volunteers. And we have gone through a number of volunteers since we had the QDMs. And I do think that we can consolidate the information and do it in less QDM. So thank you.
Thank you. And Marianne, you're next.
Hi there. Yeah, I would like to actually indicate that the group that I was delegate for has essentially forced me to go to the QDMs, even though I'm no longer actively involved, because they just can't deal with the overload themselves. And the original understanding that the group that I was with had was that the QDMs were going to kind of do the business that didn't get finished. But actually, when they attended the meetings, initially it was like, this is more like a feedback meeting or a conversation meeting. We're not actually doing business as such. So they just felt burnt out. There's too much for them to deal with and to do. So I would understand. It sounds like it's too much for everybody without actually achieving anything actively constructive. So yeah, I'm just bringing the delicate perspective from there. Thank you.
Thank you,
yeah, for that perspective.
And Bonnie, you're next.
Yeah, I was just wanting to clarify a couple of things. So I remember, well, first of all, I think it was Saturdays that it was happening. And I want to just say that for our group delegate, they just asked if there were other people who could do it, because that's hard on his schedule. That's the one day off. And finding four of those in a year is difficult. The second thing is, so how long is the business conference day that you're suggesting? I believe that's how it used to be before, but how long is it? And the purpose is to handle ballot proposals and other business? And then how long is the delegate meeting and what is the purpose of that?
And does someone else want to take it? I don't want to jump in if one of you guys wants to jump in.
I think we had suggested replacing the three quarterlies with one delegate meeting. That was it. And we didn't have a lot of definition around how long that would last. But in our thought process, it was like a day long thing once rather than three quarterly. Yes.
Yeah, and the important part is it's not defined in this ballot proposal, because It's the important is that it allows the ABC committee and the conference to figure this out. Preparing for it twice a year, we think is enough, and figuring it out in collaboration with the people that are planning it and the conference, rather than trying to dictate what's right in this proposal, seemed like the better way to go.
Thank you. I am next in the queue, and this is a question from me. I don't know if it's a question, but I do know that when this was presented, these quarterly delegate meetings, it felt like it should have been like a ballot proposal all by itself that would have been had time for people to talk about, and it wasn't, and the board threw it in there. And I know that since then, I've heard from the board that, well, the delegates voted for it. Well, and so, fast forward a year and a half later, with lack of volunteers and lack of board members, there is now far fewer TCs. And it seems that these quarterly delegate meetings are basically reporting meetings, which I think if they are going to have less TCs, and I understand the workload, I do. I think in the bylaws, it says they are to report monthly. And now we have some committees that sort of rely on the quarterlies to report. I think it's a stretch to now ask this quickly for the delegates to shift on this again at this time due to lack of actual business meetings. And I don't think the delegates are as involved as they should be in the quarterlies. Thank you. Okay, so we have Shangri-La, and then
we can respond to that.
Well, we're running out of time, so we'd rather that wasn't really a question. So,
well, it was a comment, and I think a comment deserves a comment back from the.
So we're at 2 minutes, just FYI.
Okay, and I'll just say it. I will say I understand your feelings that the TCs have reduced, that now we're talking about the QDMs reducing, but the delegates and the fellowship have spoken. In my mind, they've spoken by there hasn't been volunteers for the board. There has not been enough volunteers from the ABC. That behavior is the voice. And if that changes, then I think we could go to it. But that's where we've had, I just think the delegates have spoken.
Thank you, Brad. Shangri-La?
Yes, so I'm speaking in support of this particular ballot, and I'm speaking from the point of view of a wannabe volunteer from across the globe. And it's a daunting task to coordinate a meeting of such importance and such a level from across the globe 3 or 4 times a year. And that alone just put me off, because it's already 7 or 8 minutes past 10 o'clock at night. And just imagine doing that month after month after month. I just couldn't do it. So I had to withdraw my intentions to participate. Thank you.
Thank you, Shangri-La. And Gabriel, you'll be our last question or comment.
Thank
I think
you.
I'm what.
Hello. Okay. Yeah, I just thank you for this proposal. I just wanted to, just state, out front that it's not an us versus them, that this is a mutual thing, that this is a challenge that needs to be looked at and solved. And I hear what you're saying, Brad, that the delegates have voted with their feet, in terms of like the attendance or that people aren't actually stepping up. And I also, appreciate everything that's been said about the last one that I experienced to be a reporting in, that it did not feel as delegate centric as what we would like. And I just in terms of a question, it's like, do you feel that it is premature, especially with the amount of work that's going into the possibility of charter and revamping the ABC at this time? Or is it something that you feel that you're trying to get out in front of before that work is done?
Yeah, I think it's something that we're trying to address now, given the number of volunteers that we have right now, because we don't know when the charter will be completed. So we kind of don't know what that timeline is like.
Thank you, Gabe, and thank you, Carmen. And we are out of time, and just as has been suggested in the prior proposals, if you all want to be around for a breakout room after, then anybody that has more conversation could go to that. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be available.
Okay, great. So we are going to, Karen, I'm going to go into the next proposal, and then I'll hand it back over to you for the additional time and that we presented for the, that we are allowing for the Russian proposal. Okay, so we are at proposal 12, submitted by the Global Members Committee. There we go. Okay, issue, to expand the scope, there's two issues here. A, to expand the scope of the International Literature Scholarship Fund to include funding additional publishing activities, such as translating, typesetting, printing, and distribution. And B, to change the name of the fund to more accurately convey these activities. Name suggestions, International Literature Equity Fund or International Fifth Tradition Assistance Fund. So who would be presenting for this one?
I would, Shangri-La.
Shangri-La, take it away. Is somebody going to time the 5 minutes? Karen, thank you.
So I represent Global here, and there is this proposal goes towards unlocking the funds which the fellowship has contributed towards the fifth tradition. It was a culmination of two earlier proposals, and a motion was passed in earlier ABC to establish the International Literature Scholarship Fund. The intention being to supply affordable literature to developing fellowships. Part of supplying the affordable literature also meant, in principle, to provide literature in a language of the local people. Translations are of a 600-page basic text, takes a long time, especially when it is not aided by any artificial intelligence, which is available for many other fellowships now. It's a backbreaking job. In a new fellowship, there are very few volunteers, and volunteers who understand and are able to translate accurately the meaning and intent of the Big Red Book are far and few. We do have funds available. To the last count, about $15,000 was available in the International Literature Scholarship Fund. However, it cannot be made available for the purpose of translation and publishing the translated text in developing fellowships because of the way the fund has been described. The proposal intends to unlock the funds and make it available and actually use the funds which have been lying in the bank for over a year and a half and are continuing to accumulate, and make it available for actual work being carried out by the fellowships under the guidance and audit and feedback to WSO and through, of course, the fellowship and the conference. And with accountability, I think we can do this. With that, I pass on to Marion. If you would like to add something to that, Marion.
Thank you, Shangri-La. Yes, here I'm wearing my former intergroup chair hat. I was actually the one that presented the proposal for the South African intergroup initially that was bundled together with the one from Global. And in a sense, I find myself feeling like I didn't do a good enough job, because in South Africa, there are 11 official languages. And so for us, translation is an automatic assumption. And somehow I didn't manage to get that communicated when we put the proposal together, that was, yeah, it would have been a given. And to find that it was not possible to use the fund as it was constituted to achieve that goal is really frustrating. In fact, the fund was used initially to help South Africa, which it did, to get to the point of being able to produce literature affordably locally. And as a result, they are now, that South African Fellowship is now actually contributing to World Service coffers, so they are paying it back, which would not have been possible otherwise. But there are still 10 languages that need translation, and some translation is already active, but we can't afford to do it, and there's no one who's able to do the service in South Africa, so that translation has stopped because there are no funds to carry the message to the majority of the population. So we would really like to change this to make it possible. Thank you. Because South Africa has actually contributed, or South Africa attendees at the meetings, when international visitors come to the local meetings, we always ask them to contribute their seventh tradition to this fund. So we want it unlocked to facilitate translations, which is a primary part of how we would carry the message to the majority of the population in the country. And it was really frustrating to discover that that is not how this fund is constituted. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Karen, are we up with time? Okay, great. Thank you, Shangri-La and Marion, for the presentation. And following our procedure, we'll pause for 30 seconds and then we'll take questions. Okay, and the floor is open for questions. Cause.
Yeah, thanks. The interesting thing is, what this sounds like to me is a possible way of consolidating people's concern about price. The other ballot proposal was heavily invested on price. And so given the South African experience with being able to lower price and then graduate on from the initial project, is that something that you guys could be making available to other folks who are in your circumstances or who are in the circumstances you used to be in? Thanks.
Yeah.
May I respond to that?
I'll just take 30 seconds and then you can respond as well. These are two, I would prefer to consider these two separate issues, translating and publishing. Translating is a big job in and of itself. We have five books, out of which the two books which are most popular in India are the Big Red Book and the Loving Parent Guidebook. So I would prefer to treat these as two different projects. One is to translate, for which there is a dedicated translations team. And if and when it gets to a state where it can be published, there would be involvement of WSO for typesetting, copyright, etc. And that could be treated as a separate project along with the intergroup for the marketing and publishing of those books. Thank you. Marion, over to you.
Yes, I think it's really important to recognize that the intention of the fund at the time that it was created wasn't directed as much towards translations, because we were just trying to get literature into the country. But as I said, from my side, I felt like I didn't adequately convey the need for a translation capacity as well. In fact, the local translation for Afrikaans was stopped because there was no funding and no people available to do it. And as far as I know, that's still paused. I do believe South Africa proves that if you get things going, the payback can come, but there is a time lag, and to fund that time lag is the important thing. And if the scholarship fund could be used to do that, but also the idea that it's a scholarship, it's really about equity rather than scholarship. It's about giving the same opportunity to hear the message in the language you're a child, your inner child, or that you speak. And that's important. Thank you.
Thank you. And just a reminder for the proposals, when they respond, the time. We will go to breakout rooms after for additional time for you all. Thank you.
Thanks. Is there any thought to professional translations, and would this include it? Thanks.
Thank you for your question. Yes, the reason why India specifically, now speaking as the chair of ACA in India, I have been translating, and I have translated the Strengthening My Recovery on my own. It's been over 1 year, and we are in the second year now that we haven't gotten to proofreading and getting to a state where we can submit it for publication. If the first part of it can be done through a professional translator who can, as accurately as possible, translate it to a local language for us, starting with Hindi, we could then speed up the process and do the proofreading and submit it earlier for publishing. So yes, the entire reason for asking for funds is because we are not yet self-supporting. We can partially fund this effort, but in order to engage a translator, we need a lot more money than what we have available. However, we are a 1.7 billion population, so I can't imagine if we had Indian literature, Hindi literature, where would we stand towards being self-supporting and then supporting the spread of the message further. But we have to have a vision for that of 5 to 7 years, and that can be speeded up with the help of the translations, money for professional translation. Thank you.
Thank you. Bill.
Hi, yes, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, everyone. Bill, I'm coming as the general manager question point of view. The question I have is, how do you see implementation of this translation work so that WSO is able to maintain legal compliance with tax laws regarding 501c3 charities?
I can speak only to India right now. I don't know which other countries might ask for assistance in this regard. But if and when India requests such translation, we would obviously put you in touch with the professional translator, and they could be a contractor for WSO. And that is something which the business group would need to resolve. Certainly, there are contractors being employed by WSO even right now, and special workers being employed in other countries and countries other than the United States right now. And so the issue could be similarly addressed. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you for the response. Stefana?
Yes, Stefania, ACA. I'm a bilingual Canadian speaking French and English, and I'm just wondering if, I guess I have two questions. One is, does that mean my current meeting, which speaks English only, it's an American-Canadian meeting, so would we be funding the translations of these with our seventh tradition, one? And two, you know, in Canada, we also have a significant Indian diaspora. So basically, would those Hindi translations be available across the world or only in those home countries?
So question number one, there is the International Literature Scholarship Fund to which the entire world membership is contributing. And that is the fund which will be utilized for funding translations and supporting developing fellowships, whether it is India or any other country. The second question is about making this translated literature available to the entire diaspora, speaking only to India. Well, the Canadian group, which is called the Masala Group, which has a lot of the Asian diaspora participating, is actually hosted and supported by ACA India. And we provide them with the Zoom connection and the support necessary. So we are in effect helping the Canadian Indian diaspora in our own way. So once the translation is made available, thank you. Once the translations are made available through the efforts of WSO, as well as whatever decision we come to with regards to publishing and distributing the literature, it will be available to the entire world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So,
hi. As publishing chair, I'm just going to say that we had a fulsome conversation discussion on this International Literature Scholarship Fund, and the publishing committee voted to approve this, but we can't. It has to come back to the annual business conference. And I'll keep it simple. Right now, it's available for English books, distribution, printing, et cetera. In South Africa and India, we did so, and it was a positive response ultimately with the fellowship. However, when it comes to translations, we're using machine translations, which certainly quickens things, but it's not enough. And so our finance controller said we need to come back to the group that approved to include the translations into this fund, because there's some finance issues. So if this comes to the ABC, we will then be able to get a legal opinion to help the discussion at the annual business conference. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. And Gabriel, I think you'll be our last question.
Cool. Listen, I just want to say I appreciate what has been shared and how you describe this as an equity issue and not necessarily, and really like the idea that you've submitted the two names. I hope you go for the first name, the equity fund, versus the latter. And just being a first language, having to myself an Aboriginal from Canada as well. And I'm just wondering, your number, did you ask specifically for a larger number? And in the stating of the background, you know, there are two different sections where they're calling for the finances. And did you outline specifically what kind of funds you're looking for? At least, yeah, thanks.
Yes. Thanks. So before we ventured into this, I have checked in India, and we have actually found a translator who has done a lot of work for AA, and he is willing. He is a professional translator. We checked out his fees, and at that point of time, about a year ago, we required about $2,000. And with the rising cost and the cost of his time, I don't know where that will stand, but maybe around $2,500. For him or any other special worker which might be employed in this task. So that's the estimate that we did provide at one point of time. But obviously it differs for different developing fellowships, and speaking from the global perspective, there are ups and downs. We cannot really compare apples to apples when it comes to the professional cost of translating. For that, we have to wait for the developing fellowships, and we have to ask and encourage them to find out how they can speed up their processes locally. But I can't imagine that it will be anywhere more than what I have described for India, which is somewhere mid-level in the developing countries. Thank you.
Time. Thank you so much. And that is all the time we have for this proposal. Karen, I think I'm gonna pass it back over to you for our additional time for the one we voted on.
Thank you, Kelly. So I think we had an agreement that we want to add 5 minutes for discussion of the proposal from the Russian group due to language and translation concerns. So Kelly, can you time us for those 5 minutes, please?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. So I would like to ask people who have any remaining questions on the Russian proposal the proposal from the Russian group to raise your hands. And maybe, Sue, can we screen share the proposal issue one more time just to get people back in the headspace to think about that? Thank you so much. So please, if you have, okay, Bill, I see you have your hand raised.
Yes, I had a question. I wasn't clear on the price that the speaker said that they paid for the Big Red Book. I thought she said 600 rubles, but that is impossible because the lowest sale price would have been $10.40 at the intergroup discount rate of 30% that WSO offers. You might remember in 2022, we asked for a price increase from $15 to $21 because the books had never had a price increase since 2006, and inflation had eaten and rising cost had eaten into the margin for that book. So the fellowships overwhelmingly supported the price increase. But I don't understand how the speaker said that they paid 600 rubles when the lowest we would have sold it for would have been 946 rubles back then.
Thank you, Bill. Igor, Elisa, Natalia, would one of you like to respond?
It's shut. Sorry.
Not. I'm still waiting to hear from Igor, Alisa, or Natalia in response to Bill's question. Shangri-La, I'll call on you in a moment.
Hi, friends.
Igor, go ahead.
Bill, thank you for the question. Natalia told that she bought her BRB some years ago, and conversion rate between dollar, US dollar, and ruble was different. And now, because this conversation rate has changed, is this difference and the cost became larger or bigger? So we need more rubles to buy. By the book with the same price in US dollars. So it is. It's the explanation of this point for another one. So it's the question of the conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Igor. Shangri-La, you have your hand raised.
Yes, so speaking as the chair of Global, I have attended a couple of Russian meetings on this particular issue. The way I understand it, that Russia has printed one lot or two lots of books in the translated language locally. And with that local printing, which is what they are essentially asking for right now in their proposal, is to be allowed to print and distribute in their own country. When they do that, they are able to support a price of 600 rubles. However, if they have to buy through the intergroup supplied from a source of printing outside of Russia and supply and buy it at the international price, then it gets priced at 1300 rubles, is what they are trying to say. So this is with regards to printing and distributing in Russia itself. Thank you.
Thank you, Shangri-La. And before we go on, I want to remind everybody who is not speaking to mute yourselves, please.
We have less than a minute, 40 seconds exactly.
Thank you, Kelly. I'll call on Sue, and I guess that will be our last comment.
So again, as a publishing chair, you know, my heart is called Tradition 5. I wanna just say that as far as universal accessibility and affordability, it is true. We have many examples. We can show you where it has worked extremely well. In addition, you may want to be aware that there is a 60% discount of translated materials on the first publication of 300 books. And certainly if that is needed more, we can look at that policy, but that's been good for years. Secondly, we have had a Russian printer inside Russia available to print for the past year. And also we have had LitRes, which is the Amazon for Russia, inside Russia. And there's over 800 adult children who have purchased digital books, and they're standing by for print on demand. I think it's 30 books minimum for them. So there are options. There are options. We have offered the International Literature Scholarship to reduce pricing. So we want Russians, ACA members, India ACA members, everybody around the world to have the same accessibility as we all do, and perhaps more so. We're just trying to find the right solutions, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. I just want to offer the opportunity to the proposing group, Igor to comment. And Kaz, if you could mute yourself, please. There's some distraction coming from your, thank you. So Alisa, Igor, and Natalia, would one of you like to respond to Sue's comment?
I could start, but my connection today is not stable, so sorry for that. I appreciate, really appreciate all the efforts that Sue and Bill and the others did to support Russian-speaking fellow travelers. And this is not only about the cost, about the cost as well. And I think we discussed that it's very different prices in Moscow and the salary of fellow travelers in the regions in Russia. So even the book, I joined ACA in 2017, and it the price was like 650 in rubles, and you should divide it on 91 to see the price in dollars, I guess. And people can well have salary like 20 hundreds, oh sorry, thousands. So it's like $220 in month. So buying such a book, it would really cost them, well, they should save money to afford themselves our program literature. It is true as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Alisa. So that puts us at the end of our time for a group-wide discussion of this proposal. And if somebody could give me the slideshow for the whole presentation again, just sort of to guide me through the steps of wrapping up. I do appreciate everybody taking the time and being so conscientious in your participation in this presentation and discussion. We are opening, well, ballot voting opened on February 1st and it will end on April 15th. So we hope that you're taking all of this information back to your groups for more discussion and informed voting on the proposals on the ballot. And thank you for your participation and the service that you are providing to your group by being here today. We do have information from a presentation from the quarterly meeting last Saturday that is available on the convention website. The link is here in the presentation. It was recorded. And then we want to invite everybody. I think we talked a little bit about how volunteers are really needed at the WSO level. So please think about offering service also to the ballot prep committee. If you have any questions about it, the email address for the committee is here. We meet on the first and third Thursday of each month at 3 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And we will be looking at potential revisions of the ballot process as we move forward in this year's process. Next slide. And I do want to, before we wrap up the full session, I do want to just raise the question that's the next slide, but I do just want to anticipate the question that will come up after we say the Serenity Prayer together. If you are willing to stick around for a breakout room on your proposal, please let us know right after we close with the Serenity Prayer so that we can set that up accordingly. So can we back up to the Serenity Prayer slide, please? Thank you so much, Sue. Would somebody like to lead the ACA version of the Serenity Prayer in closing? I can do it. God,
Higher
grant
power,
the serenity
serenity,
to accept
the
what
people,
cannot
change,
change. The courage
courage to
to
change
change
what
one
I
I
can,
can.
and
And the
my
wisdom
wisdom to know
that
that one is here.
Cannot change what I can. Wisdom to know the difference. Your will be done.
And now, if you're interested in leading a breakout room discussion on your proposal, please raise your hands and we'll set it up accordingly.
I'm gonna stop the recording unless there's a reason to keep it going.
Well, do we want to keep it going for Q&A on any of our process?
And yeah, there was an intent. If anybody has a question about the voting process in general, before we go to the specific breakout rooms.
So can we take down for the breakout rooms the hands that are raised right now? I'm seeing five hands raised for breakout room presentations, and then maybe open up the floor 5 minutes on process Q&A. And I'm seeing time constraints on the breakout rooms. A lot of people are saying 5 to 10 minutes. So any questions on ballot voting?
Great, then we've done our job.
Then we can move into
Okay.
breakout room sessions. Is
Then is it
somebody
okay if I turn off the recording or
Yeah.
what?
Yes.
So,